Welcome to the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. I'm Sirte Pihlaja, your host, the CEO at Shirute and the CXP Finland head of team. In this series, we explore how artificial intelligence is reshaping customer and employee experiences, addressing the innovations, ethical questions, and strategies essential for navigating the world of artificial intelligence. Join us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe to follow us on your favorite platform. In today's episode, we will discuss how Verkkokauppa.com, Finland's leading online retailer, has become a forerunner in AI governance. We'll explore together how they got into the journey of building this framework, the principles guiding it, and how Verkkokauppa.com ensures transparency, fairness, and compliance while leveraging AI to drive innovation. We will also hear the background to the company's published AI policy description and AI strategy, the benefits of these initiatives, and the lessons learned along the way. Whether you're looking to implement AI governance in your organization or simply curious about how leading companies approach responsible AI, this episode is packed with actionable insights and best practices. And it's time to dive in. Joining us today is Ilja Ikonen, the company's Chief Information Officer and Chief Information Security Officer, who has been at the forefront of creating and implementing their robust AI governance framework. With a background in IT infrastructure, information security, and business continuity, Ilja oversees the company's AI governance and strategy. He is a strong advocate for responsible AI, and under his guidance, Verkkokauppa.com has established itself as a leader in AI governance in Finland, setting a standard for ethical and effective use of AI technologies. Welcome to the AI Experience podcast, Ilja. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. We're excited to hear about your work and to learn more about the journey you've been leading. Thank you for joining us to share your insights and the groundbreaking work happening at Verkkokauppa.com. Let's get started. Can you, Ilja, first begin by introducing yourself and sharing a bit about your role at Verkkokauppa.com?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Sirte. I think that was the best intro about me I have ever heard. Should copy that. About me, my name is Ilja Ikonen, working at Verkkokauppa.com. Started over 5 years ago at Verkkokauppa.com as a CISO, also responsible for the risk management and business continuity and whistleblowing process and such. Before that, I worked at KPMG as an information security consultant, doing audits, gap analysis, consulting, and etc. I'm graduated from the University of Vaasa in Masters of Economics and Business, and my major was computer science, where I got interested about information security, and I did my master's thesis about the SQL injections and such.
Okay.
That's about me, in my professional career.
Thank you. Could you describe the journey of Verkkokauppa.com in AI governance? Where did it start, and what was the evolution? What has the evolution looked like so far, and why did Verkkokauppa.com choose to take a leading role in AI governance? And what was it that really inspired the creation of your AI policy and AI strategy? Thank one of the first ones in Finland.
Yeah. Thank you. Long story short, I think one thing that helped us in AI governance was because of the many hats I have. So starting from the information security side, it's always we know the shadow IT is one of the worst enemies in information security side, of course, and in the IT side. So that was one thing I was a little bit worried about when the AI came the whole public and things. So I was thinking about how much confidential or even secret data is leaking out from the company if we don't do anything about it. That was the information security side. And of course, when I'm responsible for the enterprise risk management, that was one thing I want to flag it out. And actually, we flagged it out as a risk that if we do not manage the AI as a whole and we don't have like a governance or management system for that, we can end up like, let's say, unknown incidents, what could probably happen. But the easiest way was to show that our confidential information could or will leak if we don't have like a standards or governance for that. And that went to the risk management report to our board of and yeah, that was the start. Mitigate the risk. So the task was like let's do one piece of AI governance to verkkokauppa.com.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the AI governance model for your system is based on the structure of the ISO standard and other widely recognized best practices, such as Microsoft's responsible AI standard and guidelines. What are the core principles guiding your AI governance model, and how do you apply these in practice?
So one thing actually about the governance model is like I have a lot of experience, of course, from the ISO standards, from the risk management to business continuity and information security. So that I like the way that how those frameworks or management systems are built and how you can basically develop those in a plan, do, check, act cycle and such. Yeah, that there was no ISO standard for that. And actually, I was sending emails to the ISO organization, like when you are like publishing this kind of management system. Actually, they now have it. It's 42,000. I haven't read that. And I think if you are developing AI governance systems, I would check that out. The way we were in a little bit hurry, or we wanted to be the first ones. So I think the Microsoft's a responsible AI framework was very good. They covered a lot of topics. We only took the topics and make it like an ISO standard by ourselves. And about the principles, basically what we have is the those are like let's say the goals that we want to manage and succeed is the accountability and responsibility of the AI systems. Of course, one is the transparency, the explainability of the AI systems, how we understand those. The fairness is one big topic. Safety, reliability, which I would compare a little bit for the IT system monitoring and such things, and incident response. And one big topic is, of course, the security and privacy side. But to add a little bit more for the standards, it's very important, of course, have different kind of other principles, like we are also having like supplier requirements and such things.
Okay. Why would you say that you decided to publish the AI policy description? It's called tekoälyseloste in Finnish. What was the message that you wanted to convey, and was it to stakeholders, customers, employees, or all of the above?
Good question. it's one is of course the transparency and EU AI Act. It has quite a lot of conversation about is it bad for us basically in EU? Is it pushes EU AI development back or such? But I think that's very good regulation because it's based on like a risk level, and for that there is also like these transparency requirements, and I think those are very good because of the all that disinformation and things you can do. Those are not things that we want the AI do, and basically that's the thing, the transparency, like it's one of our principles. It's like how we can communicate it to our customers. It's quite hard, I would say, because in like a chatbots on our side, which is AI-based, Ilmari GPT, it's very easy to say hello. You are talking with me, and I'm AI bot. But basically, when you are doing, let's say, descriptions for the products or images and such, how you can tell that this is AI made or such. So that was the thing that we wanted to, let's say, fulfill as good as we could, and that was the reason we made this what would you call
AI policy description, you mean?
something like that. We have the AI policy. It's a different document. This is for the transparency, but that was basically the whole story behind it, and same as
Right.
in like a privacy side, we want to tell like if you give us personal information, how we handle it.
Can you maybe walk us through a little bit of the process of creating the AI policy? Like, who did you involve in it, and what were the key considerations besides these principles you mentioned earlier?
How we did it. Actually, can't even remember the process as total, but I did consult our lawyer, Klaus, for that one. He was basically who read it last, and I said like, is there any possibilities to give some kind of disclaimers and such to the document? And I think that went great. One thing was like when we were thinking about our processes and such, I just like identified our like internal stakeholders, like who are, let's say, responsible for our e-commerce. So basically there were a couple of departments doing work with me, and I was asking like, do you use Gen AI for marketing? Or of course, some of the bots I know because we have made those. That was the story, and I was thinking like, what would be the requirements from the EU AI Act and such. It's very short, basically, and I want to keep it simple, but let's see how it develops.
Okay. So Sam Altman famously said in a recent blog of his that they at OpenAI they believe that in 2025 So this year we may still see the first AI agents join the workforce, as he said, and materially change the output of companies. So one of the fascinating concepts that you've shared as well is the idea that AI systems should go through a recruitment process that is very similar to that of a human employee. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on what you mean by this and how Verkkokauppa.com applies this principle in practice? How does this approach help ensure that the AI systems align with your governance framework and maybe organizational goals?
Yes, good question. Actually, one funny thing was like almost 1 week ago, the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, he said like IT will become the HR for the AI agents, which little bit confirms that it's good way to tell people like what kind of management we need for the AI agent and the AI bots. But basically, the thing why I said it's easier maybe to understand what is going to change and what we need to do and what's the reason for the governance for the AI. And for that, basically the AI, Gen AI bots and systems are basically information workers, and that's why I think we have little bit of similarities, like why we need to be the supervisors for the AI bots and agents. So I think our work is becoming to monitor and prompting and giving the data to the AI agents and bots, and we will be the supervisors. So that's why I think IT should talk with HR and think about these things. And like I have mentioned, our principles, those are basically good principles to the people also, that you need to be fair about what you talk and how you communicate. You have to be transparent. You have to keep up the security and privacy side, and you have to do meaningful work. Let's say you have to think about the process and procedures.
You also do, as part of your process, you do this impact analysis or assessment. Could you maybe walk us through that concept, please?
Yeah, okay. So it's can't remember, but this can sound terrifying, but it's like 15 pages in Word, but there is also this check boxes that or some kind of choose questions about the AI bot, what you're using. But basically, what it is about the impact assessment is like who is the owner of the system, and we go through all the like what kind of problem is it for or solving, what kind of problem, what are the use cases, or let's say for the information worker, we also know like what is the task that the employee is doing, but the same thing to the AI system. We go through the fairness things about like what is the country it's used for, what languages, and does the AI system use personal data, or what kind of personal data is it using? Does it know is the customer's gender or something? Because on those things, if you would know this, the impact assessment would lead you to think about the quality of the service, basically about is there any positive or negative impacts to the male or female customers or users. There are quite many things that we go through. Of course, what we do in many topics, I suggest people to think like a hacker. Is there possibilities to use it wrong, or what basic one thing is like what's the data we have given to the system. That's the data governance side, of course, and but it's a long documentation. I would say it's a couple of hours when you go through the AI systems for the impact assessment, and like we have a talk about here, it's the recruitment for the AI bot and such. I think that's quite fast recruitment process if it's only 2 hours versus when you're doing or normal recruitment for an information worker.
That's for sure. And I imagine that this is like a workshop that you do between the IT and business.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the AI strategy? Was that something that you already had in place before diving deeper into the principles of AI and ethical responsible AI at verkkokauppa.com? Or did it come afterwards since you had maybe done already some experimentation? Which was the chicken and which was the egg?
We actually started. I don't know what was it the right it started all the AI governance work started from the risk management side, and we did that first, so we have some kind of course principles that how we are implementing AI to the verkkokauppa.com. About the AI strategy, it's I'm talking about strategy hierarchy here. So basically, the AI strategy in IT side is more like how we can enable other departments in our organization to use AI. What are the technology strategies here and there? So what? Let's say, do we use Microsoft's AI services, Google's AI services? Should we have like on-prem capabilities for the AI systems, for the, let's say, open source LLMs and such? So the IT side of the AI strategy is more like the governance side, how we are developing the umbrella and, of course, the technologies behind it. But when I talk about AI hierarchy, is more like we want to go deeper to the departments. So every department or function should own their own AI strategy, basically. They are the experts in their area. They understand their processes, they understand their problems, tasks, and basically they can understand the data that they are handling more better than the IT. So that's why I think it's better to go there to workshop with them, and they should have their own AI strategy, like what are the use cases and problems they need to solve. So that's why we are now workshopping about the department's AI strategies. So we basically have like a many, and that's why we have the hierarchy of the AI strategy.
Right. How about the governance body? How have you actually set that up within your organization? Who's responsible for what in AI?
Good question. That governance body is mostly defined in we have a document which I call the management system, and it tells basically the whole scope of the governance body, which is it's the our whole organization. One chapter there is the roles and responsibilities, and in the end, like in our AI policy, which is public and can be found our investors side, is that the board of directors, they are responsible for the AI. So that's the first thing. The management should have the responsibility of the AI success and governance and management in the end. And from there, what other roles and responsibilities we have is, of course, my role and responsibilities to develop the management system and the governance framework. But also, I have AI specialists and my teammates who help me with the bots and agents and such things. Then we have AI steering group, which is like we meet like once in a quarter, and in there we have like at least one from every department that is basically the AI champion of the department and so on. For that, we are defined the roles for the, let's say, if you are the owner of AI system, what are your responsibilities? And of course, the in the end is the responsibility for every employee, and that's why you need to have some kind of training, AI training basics for the whole organization, that they understand that everybody is responsible for the AI things in some way.
If we talk a little while here about the implementation and maybe the lessons learned from your case of putting into place this AI governance framework of yours, what would you say are the challenges that you faced during the development and implementation of your governance model? And what lessons have you learned from this process that other companies could maybe benefit from?
Yes, so challenges. The first challenges was to mitigate the risk about the shadow AI systems, I would say. And for that challenges, of course, we made the AI governance system, and of course, we wanted to enable our employees to have the generative AI systems that they all could use. And in that moment, I think it was a Bing Enterprise chat, and now it's a Copilot chat that everybody is using, that was tackling those challenges. One challenge, I think it's the cultural side that what I have, th this is also HR related, what I have said in our public announcements, which is basically like you wouldn't hire an employee behind the like HR processes and such, and that's the one thing that we are still pushing, and it's like it's the cultural side that everybody is doing the impact assessment and getting the responsibility and the ownership of their own AI agents and bots. The lessons learned side, I would say, like, don't develop your own management system like I did, because it's quite hard work and takes quite a lot of time. So that's why I would say you should check it out, the ISO 22000. I haven't read it, but you should lean on already ready frameworks that there are, and I believe there are quite many. So check those. Don't do your own. And one challenge I would say that also became was the over reliance challenges, and that's about the awareness side. So you should in some way to tell the people, like, and this is also about the transparency, like how the AI systems are basically working. giving the understanding to your employees that how they work basically, because I think that there are the over-reliance risks about that people are thinking those are like oracles or trusting the AI bots and so on too much, I would say, and that's the one thing that the transparency goal or the principle should also tackle.
That's certainly something that we all might have to take into consideration. Don't trust your ChatGPT or whoever you're talking with. They are not, certainly not oracles as such. I'm going to tee you up next on the practical side of AI, the use cases. I'll be interested in hearing what are you currently using AI for at verkkokauppa.com. What are maybe some of the use cases that exemplify the benefits of your governance model?
I could tell is the one who is now it's named Höpöttäjä, who is now doing our product descriptions, the long and the short ones, and basically how we started it, we have deployed our let's say workshop materials to find these use cases, and one thing is like we go through a process and we are finding the problems that they want to solve, and in this case we find that it's the blank document problem basically, that when we are doing our production descriptions, those can be quite hard sometimes to do, and this bot could help us to do the product descriptions a little bit faster and help the blank document problem here. Then we, after that, we did that. So we had the process. Of course, we had the tasks, and we talk about the specialists, like what kind of things you are doing when you are doing the product descriptions and these things. So that from there we got basically the best specialists' work description and prompting to the AI bot, which we actually did in two in technical environments. We did it in Azure AI and in the Vertex in the Google. So that is the one thing we are choosing, like what technology we will use, but we want to test like which one would be better. Then we identified our stakeholders that who are using the product and want to be transparent with that, and guidelines how to use it. And of course, the data governance, what kind of data the bot would need to do the product descriptions. And in the first phase, we didn't give the bot the product data, but now it's using product data, and we choose it product data from different categories, and now it learns our way of doing the product descriptions. And that's the one use case where we did all this, and of course the impact assessment in the
You mentioned earlier on Ilmari GPT. What's his role in creating great customer experiences for your customers?
Yes, so Ilmari GPT, she is our AI service, customer service bot in our site. Ilmari is, yeah, it's SaaS service, AI service, and Its role is basically to serve customers and in the, I would say, on the zero or first tire questions before going to the our customer service human. And nowadays, I think Ilmari is doing quite well at the customer service about that level because it can handle, I think, 60% of the questions and customer problems nowadays. But about the impact assessment now, if we want to give Ilmari more like tasks or new work, we have gone through, of course, also the impact assessment, like if Ilmari would start selling or looking up for the personal data of the customer and such things. So then we have to go through the impact assessment for that use cases also in the future.
What about there's a big part of AI development that happens in general, at least in companies internally. Do you have any internal AI use or tools at the moment?
I would say all of our employees have the Copilot chat, which they are using, of course, and we are now piloting the Copilot, Microsoft, with some users. The internal bots that are here and there are, let's say, under development. And we have more like test some bots or agents. Now I'm actually testing agent that could read our intranet and give the answers from the internet to the employees. I think that would help little bit of people to find the, let's say, write the guidelines or how to order a PC or new PC or such things.
Okay. I was myself testing out recently this new Google Gemini-based real-time streaming, I think it's called, and that's it, I was just amazed in awe when I was looking at it what it could do, because I could ask anything that was happening on my screen and ask it for some kind of IT support, or you know, act as a designer who would roast my web pages or whatever. So the use cases are endless with that, and it's a real like assistant that is talking in voice mode with you. So that was really something special. At least I think that that's somewhere we're going most probably in the future. And there was absolutely no lag in talking with him, or it responded very, very fast on anything and everything that I asked. So maybe that's something that is coming into the internal, at least internal usage, if not customers as well.
Yeah, of course, and we will see what will happen, and maybe I have to try that one, the
Yeah, I
Gemini.
definitely recommend doing that. We're coming up to the closing thoughts maybe of our episode here. I have a couple of questions left. Firstly, what advice would you give to other organizations looking to establish their own AI governance framework? Is there anything else that you might have missed earlier on here?
I don't know. I think the thing is like choosing the right framework and doing the principles in the, let's say, basic standard level. Start there and get the AI, the whole topic, manageable and understandable in your organization. Doing let's say trainings and those things, and of course one thing you should do is give the some kind of capabilities of the Gen AI to the most of the employees or the information workers, because I think if there are no capabilities, people are using Gen AI systems for their own, and then your data is leaking. And yeah, that would be the advice. Or
We're really coming to the end here. I have my last questions here about the future. How do you envision the future of AI and AI governance?
I think AI governance is something to be needed. It's a mandatory thing if you want to succeed. The thing is, like, I would say we will have more tools about the AI governance, the monitoring, and things in the future. The AI asset management is one thing that we are doing. But I think that's one important thing to do. And I think the AI asset management will develop in some way, because you have to, of course, manage all the AI bots and agents in the future. I don't know. It will show. But I think we will, in this AI agentic age, we are going more and more to the we are going more and more to the, let's say, in the future, where human workers are more like a supervisors for the AI agents, and we have to learn how to prompt those and give them new data, and we have to monitor and watch that they are doing the work right way. And
What about the
I think
customers?
that's
What about the customers side? I'm a big proponent of machine customers, so I'm thinking that the buying and shopping will be mostly done by AI assistants in the future. So is that something that might be you might consider as a future prospect for Verkkokauppa.com as well?
yeah, of course, most definitely. We will have our own personal AI assistants that you are talking with, and it knows all your calendars and things you are interested in. And of course, you're giving the tasks to the AI assistants would be like, I need new AirPods or something like that. I want the best price for that, and I need those in, let's say, 2 days or such things. And then the AI assistant bot would go for a shopping. And of course, we have to serve these kind of bots, and thank God we have these fast deliveries in Finland. So hopefully the bot would buy from us in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Can you lastly share some resources for those who are looking to learn more about the topics we have been covering today, AI governance and such?
Yeah, so resources. What would I have? One thing would be, I would check, is the Microsoft Responsible AI. Haven't checked the documentary in 1 year or something, but I think they still have it. They are quite transparent. I would read those documents and check those out. I mentioned the ISO 22000. That would be one. Of course, there is a payment wall if you want to get it. I don't know what's the price, but still. That would be one to check it about the governance side. For the risk management, I would say IBM has a quite good risk management site, which is like IBM AI Risk Atlas. That would be one if you want to identify or know about the risks about the AI systems. And then there is AI incident database. I will check it. But that's incident database dot AI. That's one I have in one training, and I picked up some incidents from there. That's quite good because that's a database where people can report the incidents happening in the AI topic and things. So.
Okay, we'll make sure to put them those links into the show notes. And lastly, how can our listeners get in touch with you, Ilya, if they are any further if they have any further questions on this topic?
I would say ping me on LinkedIn. Just send me a message.
Okay, very good. We'll certainly do that. So thank you, Ilya, for joining us today and sharing such valuable insights into Verkkokauppa.com's AI governance journey. It's, I mean, inspiring to see how this well-structured approach of yours, how it has been rooted in transparency, responsibility and innovation, and how it can lead the way in setting new standards really for ethical AI use, as you have done here in Finland. For our listeners, we hope this episode has given you a deeper understanding of what it takes to implement effective AI governance and strategy. And whether you're just starting or out or refining your approach, there's a lot to learn, certainly, from the practices that Ilya has shared. So, as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please share it with your network to help us spread the word. Thank you for being part of our journey in exploring AI from basics to breakthroughs. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep innovating. Thank you. And thank you, Ilya.
Thank you. Thank you. This was a great conversation.
Thank you for tuning into the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. We hope today's conversation sparked new ideas and insights on your AI journey. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more discussions with leading experts in AI, customer experience, and innovation. Join us next time as we continue to explore the transformative power of artificial intelligence.